Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Today, we're really privileged to have with us as our guest, Makili Ilibagiza, who has written a book called Left to Tell, Discovering God Amidst the Rwandan Holocaust. So welcome, Makili.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming. And what an amazing story you have to tell. It's almost hard to, even though I'm an outsider, it's even hard for me to just even think about what happened, you know, the slaughter between the two primary ethnic groups in Rwanda, the Hutus and the Tutsis, and a million people died and horrible brutality. And we've seen this happen, you know, in the human race, you know, in different ways. It springs up this horrible, horrible evil. And you came back on Easter vacation and ended up right in the middle of it. Why don't you tell us what it was like for you and what you experienced?
Yeah, actually, I came home for Easter holidays, and we knew something was coming, was going to happen, but it hadn't yet started. It was like 3 days after, 2 days after Easter, actually. It was Wednesday morning when my brother came and broke the news to me that the plane of the president was shut down and he died. So in previous wars, anytime they killed people of my tribe was when they were changing the president. And then this time I remember screaming, oh my gosh, they're going to kill us. And that was really the beginning. Instantly, I remember we went outside and to meet my parents, and we heard on radio, we were capturing BBC, Radio France, everywhere. In the country, they gave order that nothing else works, no market, no school, no bank opened, no work. Nothing was working except killing. They started to kill right away, like 10 minutes after the shooting down of the president. They started to kill people saying that Tutsis are the ones who have just killed the president.
Oh.
So from that time on, like 2 days after the whole thing have started, my parents asked me to go to hide somewhere because it was just like going crazy. And they were burning houses of Tutsis and they were running people away.
Wow. Did you go and hide then?
Yeah, I did went to hide. I went to this person who was a pastor. He was a Protestant pastor. And actually, I remember when I was separating my parents, the last thing we ever told, I didn't even say bye to them. My dad gave me a rosary. I remember I had a scapular. I handed it to him. Almost like, you know well that this is maybe the last time you are going to see them. And I really went because I was just like one daughter they had. Otherwise, I was asking them, why am I the one who had to go to hide? But they were more worried that if any attack comes,
yeah,
I won't be able to run or to protect myself.
Yeah.
So they sent me away before.
Yeah.
And I remember when he handed me the rosary, it was the last thing he ever gave me, and I just left. And I went to this person who was a Protestant pastor and from the Hutu tribe who were not the target.
Oh.
And when I reached him, he put me to sit in the bathroom.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, Rwanda, I know, is a predominantly Catholic country. You're a very committed Catholic, but it was a Hutu Protestant minister who took you in. That's wonderful in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was really, the whole genocide is something that definitely taught me a lot, of lessons about life. And during the genocide was a time when you knew that it didn't matter where you belonged, which religion you belonged to. What mattered was the relationship you have with God, the kind of person you are. How do you respond to the love, the law of love? How do you respond to God's will? Not just because you belong somewhere. Because after that, we realized that some priests were involved in killing. Some pastors also from Protestants were involved in killing. Some head of, you know, Muslims. And it was just a time where each individuals have definitely to be who they are. no matter where they belonged. Mm-hmm. So that person, we knew that he was a Hutu from the tribe that was killing, but my parents were able to trust that he can be a person to hide you. And being even a Protestant, then you look at the heart at that time, not just where you are.
Yeah.
So we were 8 women, and we just met in the bathroom. And we didn't even care about knowing who is who, where you come from, what is your name. And I remember when he put us to sit in the bathroom, he told us not to speak to each other, not to make any noise, not even to flush the water of the bathroom until the toilet, until somebody else is flushing the water in the next bathroom. Even his children didn't know. Because he is somebody who have lived the previous wars. The first war against Tutsis was in 1959. 30 years before, another one was 1973, and he was there, he watched how they were killing. And most of the time, somebody who would say where somebody's hiding is just your child who just go and talk to their friends. So he knew so well, and he wanted no one to know, so that no one would ever give news to what is going on, or if he's hiding anyone. And then he had to tell us, please be quiet, if not, they're going to find you. I know this kind of thing. He told them he lost the key of the bathroom. And it was only house in the whole village that had 2 bathrooms in one house. And that house was given to him as a gift. When I think about it, I'm like, God, thank you.
Yeah, what providential care of God that the only house that had 2 bathrooms, and people wouldn't expect the house to have 2 bathrooms. And so they weren't looking for another bathroom. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Because beside that, they were killing in public places outside, like Tutsis who ran to stadiums, who went to churches. Many churches were destroyed in Rwanda. Protestant churches, Catholic churches, where people ran to, they were destroyed and killed everyone.
They weren't respected as places of refuge, were they? They just went right into the churches and slaughtered people, burned churches down.
Exactly. Yeah. And then from that, to killing people in public places, they were searching houses. So each home, every Hutu home, because they didn't trust that every Hutu will be willing to kill. So they were going through houses to search. So when they came to search, which was horrible, the whole time you can imagine when you know that somebody is searching for you and is right inside the house. And if they find you, there's no pity they can ever have on you. They have all the guns and machetes. It was so hard to have them there. So if it wasn't for that bathroom, that they would go in one bathroom, and when they searched there, they felt okay that there's no other bathroom. And then in front of the bathroom we were in, I remember one time I asked the pastor to push a wardrobe right in front of the door. And then they never found
the door. So he disguised it.
If the bathroom was 3 by 4 feet, it was really small. With the first day I went there, I almost told him, look, we can't fit here. But I remember he told us that.
How many women were in there?
8.
8, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The younger one was 7 years old. So that one was always on our lap. He put like twin mattresses, 2 of them in the bathroom. And we had like, it was just like a toilet and a shower. Not like a tub. So we were able to put them there and leaning, to the mattresses. So it was easier really to sit. And then the girl was always like sitting on the top of us, the 7-year-old. So it was just like impossible in the first, when you just look at it. But then when they start to hunt for us, it became even too big for us. You want a little hole to hide in so no one would ever see you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What actually was happening in your mind and heart during those 91 days, like what was it? What was going on?
It was lifetime school. I was like growing from a minute to a minute. The first week, many things happened in my mind and really changed completely who I was or the way I thought about life before. The first time I felt tired, like the first 3-4 days, I thought I couldn't take it anymore. Like how somebody can spend this many days in one place. Yeah. And I just thought that it can't be possible even to move on for another day. I would die. I never had any hardship in my life. Yeah. Before that, I was one daughter. My brothers, my parents protected me, helped me to do everything I was doing. And all of a sudden, I'm there. So the first week was different, like tired. And then I moved from that to be angry. I'm like, I can't take it.
Yeah.
How people can do this to us. And then I moved to a place where I was accepting and I started to beg God to help me.
Yeah.
Even to reach where I was begging God to help me, I passed through a place where my faith was completely crushed. Like, does God exist?
Yeah.
Is he here? Does he listen?
Can I call upon him? How could there be a God when this horrible thing is happening?
Exactly, yeah. And then feeling like, actually, like almost feeling like the devil was there, like in the physical form, completely telling me, don't worry, God doesn't exist. And like a little angel or so, something, somebody telling me, just don't worry, ask him. Ask him, don't hold on to him. He's the only one really in this time. Mm-hmm. And then just like that, I was asking him, give me a sign that you are here. And that sign came one day when they came to search. It was the first day before, the first time they ever searched. And the door was not covered. There was no wardrobe. I remember when they came to search, I was so scared. I remember my mouth going dry and my whole body become numb.
Yeah.
Hearing them outside. Because I just saw them through a little window and they were like dressed like the devils. And they were trying to look like the devils. They were never hiding it.
They're trying to scare people.
To scare people.
With how horrible they were, yeah. How evil they were.
Exactly. Yeah. They had on like these banana leaves all around their body. And sometimes they put like horns, goat horns on their head.
Oh, yeah.
And then have all kind of arms. So they came to search like, you know, every single place in that house. And that time I remember I said, God, if you exist, because in my human imagination, I couldn't think that there's any way they can miss that door. How do they miss a door when there are 200 people in a 3-bedroom house? Impossible in your human imagination. And I wanted to come out just to give myself to them before they searched, they found me. And I remember asking God, if you exist, just give me a sign that you are somewhere. Don't let them find us. Today, they can find us tomorrow, but today, give me a sign that you are there, so at least I can hope for maybe heaven. Everything was completely gone. Like, if my parents are not here, the leaders are calling us to kill. Does God exist beside everything?
Yeah.
So that day, I remember they came right to the door of the bathroom after searching every single place on the top of the house, in the ceiling, under the beds. They even opened suitcases to see if there is any baby hiding. These are like 200 people in the house. The last place they searched was that was going to be our bathroom. And then they touched the door of the bathroom. And before they opened it, they told the pastor, you know what? We trust you. There's no way you can hide those snakes. And then it went back. It was...
That was a miracle, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember the pastor, when he came to us later, he said, I don't know what you're praying, but whatever you do... just keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He said, I cannot believe that they can go back. And then when he said that, I said, the only thing they showed me, it wasn't like, oh, we are lucky. It was more like, I think God listens. I think God is somewhere. Even if they have killed us, at least there was hope that even heaven exists, maybe. Mm. Yeah. It was more like, just give me a sign that you listen. And from there, I tried to say, you know what? Maybe God is the only thing that is there. I asked the pastor to give me the Bible. I started to read, like, just like, tell me you will. Tell me whatever you want. I will do it. Even in this bathroom.
Yeah.
And I took my rosary. I started to pray from morning until night. Just like asking God, you are here. Give me your will. Tell me what you want. I remember I prayed the rosary 27 times from morning until night. And then to finish like around 6 o'clock, from 6 in the morning until 6. And then I said this 40 times Divine Mercy Rosary chaplet. Just to reach like 10 o'clock before I sleep for 3 months.
Wow.
And in the middle of that, I will be reading like around each mystery. I will go and, you know, go in the Bible where it happened.
Oh.
You know, like if like the Gabriel came to Mary, I will go in the Bible. Like, how did it happen exactly? It wasn't anymore like I'm just like praying. It was like, I want to know, what do you mean? We have to trust you? So you mean I can trust you that you can help me out? It was like, it gave me a chance to create a relationship with God.
So it really deepened your relationship with God in a very, significant way. Before that, you were a believing Catholic.
I was.
But it wasn't as deep or as personal or as real or as important to you.
And that's how I knew how important it is to have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
Before I prayed, but all of a sudden in front of hardship, my faith was gone. Gone completely. I didn't even remember. Why were I praying before? And in my family, we prayed all the time before we go to sleep. Tired about it, we're praying, but we never talked about it. Like, who is that God? How do you apply him in your everyday life?
Yeah.
But I ended up staying in that bathroom 3 months from April to July. And the first day I came out, I rushed to find out from somebody who was outside, and he told me everyone died. Different places.
My mother, my father,
my two brothers.
Two brothers that were there.
My uncles, my aunt.
Oh.
My grandma, my grandpa.
Oh, my goodness.
Neighbors, friends, schoolmates. It was horrible. It was a time where you feel like, is this real? Is it a nightmare? Yeah. Maybe I'm going to wake up.
Yeah.
Am I dreaming, or is it the end of the world? Is it the beginning of the world?
Yeah.
You know, even when I cried, I felt like, no, it is not real. But somehow, and I had
this is so horrible. How could it be real?
Then you feel like, how do you continue like this?
Yeah.
You want like somebody to happen to tell you how to do about it, what to do. And I just say, you know, I'm continuing to run to God and pray. And somehow I had so many dreams about my family. And I remember one time which was completely changed. So much pain I was experiencing. And one time I saw like my brother, my mom, my dad, they were like in heaven as a dream, not a vision, like read outside. And then they were telling me like, you are crying, but you don't realize that where we are much better off.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
And I have told this story to many survivors who told me, you know what, we don't have to suffer anymore. Put aside the pain of like feeling what happened. Yeah. And I saw them like they were standing like in a bright light. Happy. I mean, their skins have become much nicer.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me and my brother, who was my best friend, really, with so much, like always work together. I knew every story he had, his friends, my friends. And he came in front of them and he said, look where we are. And the funny how real it was, they were in bright light and where I was standing on earth, it was dark.
Oh, yeah.
It was wet. It was not nice.
Yeah.
And then the only light that lightened my way was from them. It was coming from heaven like this, going down, and I was standing right in a ray of light that came from heaven. And then they told me, he said, look where we are. We know you love us. And look where you are. Do you really want us to come back? Or do you want to wait until you come back to join us? And I remember I was singing. I'm like, thank God for the great thing you have done for my family. Thank God. It's a song in Rwanda we sing. And I sang that night the song loud. And the lady where I lived, she came to wake me up. She's like, why are you singing? You are asleep. That's how real it was. And I'm like, oh, you don't know what happened. She's like, what? You're just dreaming. So I went back to sleep. But in the morning, I completely, my tears dried. Yeah, it was so, I can remember the clothes they had on. I mean, the pain of feeling like why they died and the fear of how they suffered was gone. And the understanding of forgiving, I think they came from when I was sitting in the bathroom. Because I was praying so much. And then, you know, like our Lord is prayer. And like I said, I think what helped me was so much that I wanted every prayer to be real. Like every word I'm saying, I want to mean it. When I said our Father, and there was something like, you don't mean it. Did you realize that even the killers are God's children? Are they your children, really? You know, I was like fighting to make these words become real. And I remember I had such a hard time saying the words, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, because I wanted it to be so real. And then the time I reached them, I'm like, no, God, I don't mean it. I'm lying to you. And I used to skip the words until one time I felt like the Blessed Mother is telling me, look, I hope you know that the words were given by our Lord as himself. Don't change them. Ask him to help you to understand them better. It was such an experience. And
you know what, Immaculee, we're running out of time for this program, but would you be willing to come back next week and continue the story?
Oh, I would love to, definitely.
Until next week, this is Ralph Martin and Immaculee wishing you the very best, a life of trust and faith in God, because God is real and he will triumph and victory and justice and peace will come.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.